in the beginning, there was nothing. Then God created the earth and the skies. Yeah. And that's essentially what the Bible is trying to say. They're just doing it in a way.
And the interesting, you know, the Bible got it right. They got the order right.
Right.
I'd love for Rogan to finish the thought, because maybe he's onto something. Maybe he's not too far from the kingdom. These guys in this video, they're going to flirt with biblical concepts and get really close to affirming what the Bible teaches. And then it's almost like when they reach a certain point that comes too close to biblical teaching, they're going to back off. They're really trying to figure it out. And this is the kind of people that we should be engaging. It seems like they want to know the truth. So we should help them get there by thinking things through properly. Joe Rogan has been making the rounds lately on Christian YouTube because of his interesting takes on the Bible and Christianity, particularly the Christian explanations for UFOs and UAPs. Is he on to something, or is he still just way off? My name is Nate, and this is Wise Disciple, where I'm helping you become the effective Christian that you are meant to be. We're going to get into this fascinating discussion on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm also going to show you how to engage this kind of discussion if you ever find yourself in a situation like this. So stay tuned to the end of the video for that. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. And if this video blesses you at all, would you do me a favor and share it with someone else? Let's all get on the same page when it comes to engaging the culture for Christ. Amen?
And one of the primary theories about how life got started on Earth is panspermia, which is that amino acids and various building blocks of life come in asteroids, and they slam it to the Earth, and that somehow or another, over the course of millions and millions of years of chemical interactions, billions of years, you have life, single cell, complex life, and then that life advances to the point where it creates a new version of life.
So panspermia is definitely a theory of how life began on Earth. I don't know if it's a theory that anybody takes seriously. So Rogan says it's one of the primary theories of how life originated. I don't know about that. But it certainly captured the imagination of many in our culture. The most famous example of this is in a movie, I think it's called Prometheus. I can't remember the name offhand, but it's a Ridley Scott film where you see panspermia take place on the Earth in its ancient form. The only reason that I'm familiar with all of this is because I entertained this theory when I was an atheist myself. So I definitely understand where Rogan and his guests are coming from. They're trying to figure this all out, but they're doing it in a manner that limits themselves to in a way that has nothing to do with the clear teaching of Scripture. And this is what it looks like.
And if that is just how it works everywhere, we say, oh my God, that takes so much time. But does it? Because think about how much time it takes to make a f-ing planet. Think about how much time it takes for all that matter to coalesce and to gel up into this f-ing ball. And then for the temperature to stabilize, because it has a moon around it that's, you know, one quarter the size of the planet itself. And everything is kind of stable, and it gets to the point where biological life can exist. And then it starts f-ing making and make better and better and better, and start arguing with about climate change and gender pronouns and all this stupid while it's the real thing it's doing is forcing you to get that motherfucker online,
right.
Get that new life form online. That's what you really do, stupid.
So I don't know if Rogan really holds to this view, but it seems like he's proposing that the UFOs and UAPs that we're seeing more and more of in the skies lately is really our ancient ancestors who seeded life on this planet all that time ago, and now they're coming back to watch us seed new life through artificial intelligence. I think that's ridiculous. That's the theory being proposed at the moment. What's fascinating is these guys in this video, they're going to flirt with biblical concepts and get really close to affirming what the Bible teaches. And then it's almost like when they reach a certain point that comes too close to biblical teaching, they're going to back off. And so these theories, they get really elaborate. And they get way far out there in order to avoid what the Bible clearly teaches.
The thing that has always, and even Stephen Hawking talked about it. So you've got the Big Bang Theory, where you have essentially all this antimatter compressed upon itself until it explodes and creates matter.
Yeah.
And the hole in that argument is antimatter, there's no matter. There's nothing. And there was so much nothing that it compressed until there was something. And so the first thing that we base everything on defies the laws of physics. Like, how can nothing compress itself until it makes something?
You know what I love about these guys? They're trying to figure it out. In their own way, they're trying to put the pieces together. And so they take the data that science gives us. In other words, the universe had a beginning at a finite time in the past. And they say, how do you get something from nothing? That doesn't make sense. And that's absolutely right. It doesn't make any sense to get something out of nothing. This kind of conversation is different than someone like Lawrence Krauss, who basically tried to mold a whole public career out of saying that you actually can get something out of nothing. But these guys, they're really trying to figure it out. And this is the kind of people that we should be engaging. It seems like they want to know the truth. So we should help them get there by thinking things through properly.
We could be off 0.0002% on our theories of life and how this universe was formed. And if that's wrong, we don't have any idea where we are, what this is.
No, we don't. And Terrence McKenna once said it best, that science asks of you one miracle. That's the Big Bang.
Yeah.
It is one miracle. It really is kind of like a miracle.
Yeah.
If in the beginning there was nothing, then God created the earth and the skies. Yeah. That's essentially what the Bible is trying to say. They're just doing it in a way.
And the interesting, the Bible got it right. They got the order right.
Right.
You know?
I think it's based on an understanding that people had achieved. Because if you think about the Bible, right? And if all these people are correct about the original history of sophisticated civilization, if the Randall Carlsons and the Graham Hancocks and the Robert Schocks of the world and the John Anthony West, if they're correct in the timeline of, like, say, the most sophisticated society that we are aware of, which is Africa, if those people that lived in Africa 30,000, 40,000 years ago in Egypt, if they created a society that was infinitely more sophisticated than anything that we had ever seen before, like, how did they do that? Who did that? And what was that like? Like, what the f*** was that like? What was that world like back then? I mean, have you ever really stopped and tried to think and imagine what was that world like back then?
So the conversation was about the Bible. And then Rogan started to say, here's what I think the Bible is. And now we've veered into a tangent, which is totally fine. You know, this is what a normal conversation looks like between two people, you know, over lunch, over coffee or whatever, right? But I'd love for Rogan to finish the thought. Because maybe he's onto something. Maybe he's not too far from the kingdom, as Jesus said to one of the scribes in Mark chapter 12.
Well, how about that you have a similar world in Central and South America, where they also had built things many thousands of years ago that still, like, how the f*** did you do that?
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Easter Island. How did y'all make those things?
Yeah.
How in the world? And then move them?
Well, I think if those things go down and then people have to rebuild, I think it takes a long time before people figure out what happened. I think it takes a long time. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion that you see in the Bible comes from. Like, the God made the earth and the sky and everything in like 6 days, right? And then on the sixth day, he rested. Okay. What are they actually saying, though? You're getting things that are translated from an oral history of 1,000 years, and then they're writing it down in Aramaic, they're writing it down in ancient Hebrew, and you're getting it many, 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 many years later, long after.
Diluted and
warped. All kinds of. Think about what people are willing to do today to the Constitution. Today. With all the information that we have about the dangers of this, think about what they're trying to do today. Now imagine what you would do if you had the real knowledge of the birth of the solar system, of the development of human beings, and the God energy of the universe, and you tried to translate it over an oral history, because there's chaos, because there's no more cities anymore, and everyone's dead, and you're just like hunting and gathering as cave people, and you're trying to relay this origin story of mankind, and then it gets written down in parables, and it gets written down in Latin, and it gets translated over the years, and then people try, okay, then they sit down and they look at it many years later, and they go, what the f*** were they trying to say? Like,
okay, this is a gigantic mess. You know, there's a lot here to unpack, but I'm curious if you see the fundamental mistake that Rogan is making. Let me know in the comments below, what is the fundamental error that causes Rogan to say what he just said? I'm asking especially to those of you who have watched my debate videos, right? Your brains should be more attuned to picking up on this rather quickly. What is the mistake that he's making? He just said, which I suppose reflects his conclusion about the Bible, that it was orally transmitted for thousands of years before it was written down, and it was orally transmitted from a source that probably figured out what really happened at the beginning of time, at the beginning of the whole universe. So these original people figured all of this out, communicated it, probably in a very ignorant manner, right, over the years as it was transmitted orally. Then it was written down in various languages and parables, and then it became a confused mess. And that's the Bible. Okay, you and I know that's not true. But what is the fundamental mistake that Rogan is making that he's probably assuming in order to say everything that he just said? So to perform this simple exercise is actually going to help you as you get out there and engage folks like Rogan on behalf of the Lord. Let me know in the comments, okay? We're going to come back to this in a moment.
What were they trying to say? Because so much of what they're trying to say, if you're really paying attention, like, it seems like it's kind of laid out like the origins of the universe. If in the beginning there was nothing, like they're talking about the Big Bang. If these scientists all agree, how do they know that?
Then there was light. That would be the Big Bang.
Why wouldn't they assume back then that God was always around? Why would they assume that God had to make everything? why would they assume that there was a beginning and an end? Just because they have a beginning and an end? Is that rational? Why would they assume that? And why did everybody assume that? Maybe because they knew. Maybe because at one point in time, whether it's 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, they had figured a lot of this out.
Well, someone figured something out for everything, the pyramids and the way that they were built,
yeah,
to be aligned so perfectly with a true north and...
Just to be able to construct them. If those people were that smart, why wouldn't we imagine they had an understanding of the birth of the universe? Why wouldn't we imagine that they would have this bizarre understanding of the way morality and good and evil play out with human beings?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing him say is something very friendly to Christianity, right? Which is that the earliest people knew how the world came into existence and knew about things like morality and good and evil. It sounds like Rogan is saying that these folks got it right way back when. Well, that's pretty close to what the story of the Bible tells us, right? In the beginning, the Bible says God created the world. And then he created a great garden where man and woman lived and walked with God. They were there pretty much at the very beginning, and God said that they would have dominion over all the earth. He even asked Adam to name the animals. I mean, this is an activity that entails the knowledge of what God has made. But then this happens. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, so there's the way the sin plays out right there. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So, something tragic happens. Man and woman disobey their creator. This first act of disobedience, what the Bible calls sin, is the moment that Adam and Eve seek to know something without God's involvement. And what is that something? Morality. They want to know good and evil without God giving them the fruit of his own knowledge about it. So you have to think to yourself, like, would they really not have known about good and evil had they not eaten the fruit? I mean, much of what mankind does, even today, has moral components all wrapped up inside of it. So morality is bound to be something that Adam and Eve would have confronted in their lives. But the difference is God did not want them to have this kind of knowledge on their own. And so they take it for themselves, and what happens next? Cain kills Abel, the blood cries out of the ground, sin spreads all over the world as mankind proliferates this kind of sin wherever it goes. Hey, real quick, I'm so grateful that you're watching. If I've earned the right to get your sub, I'd love it if you would just click the like and subscribe button. It would really help me to get the video out to more and more people. I really do appreciate you. Rogan's got it partly right. Mankind knew God a long time ago. But we, because of our disobedience, harmed our relationship with him, and now here we are. It's funny because, you know, sometimes people will ask, well, why does God hide himself from us? But if you look closely at how the Bible answers this question, God didn't go anywhere. We did. We left his garden and went east, and we've continued to travel further and further east, right? It's God, if you pay attention to the story, that comes after us and comes to find us.
Maybe they were right. Maybe they were right, but it all just got f***ed up over the thousands of years after asteroid impacts and the thousands of years of the destruction of the advanced civilizations and the world going back into chaos and then slowly rebuilding. And you're rebuilding with these ancient texts that you find in clay pots in Qumran. And you ever seen when they translate like the Dead Sea Scrolls and they lay them out and they have to try to figure out which pieces go with which scroll and they do it based on DNA. All this DNA is from this cow, so let's take this scroll from this cow skin and put it together and try to read what the f*** they said. It's incredible. But it makes...
It's funny that he mentions Qumran because the Dead Sea Scrolls is a great example of how wrong Rogan's characterization is. You know, the way that he's describing the writing down of the Bible, it's just, again, it sounds like this, well, you know, it's a bunch of oral tales that have been changed and altered over thousands of years. And then finally they wrote it down, but not before the original message was lost somehow. You know, kind of like the old telephone game, right, that we used to play in kindergarten. But the Dead Sea Scrolls actually show us that's not how the Bible was captured. As a matter of fact, its accuracy to other texts of the Bible that we've discovered. So, for example, the Masoretic text, which was written later, way later, like in the 10th century AD, right? Or even our current translations today. The accuracy is spot on. So this idea that the writing of the Bible somehow lost the original message does not align with our own understanding of archaeological discoveries of portions of the Bible. Like, it's incredibly accurate how it was all written down.
Makes sense. It makes sense if you buy into the idea that there's been a restart of civilization, and then you go back and say, okay, what is the history of the Bible? Like, how old is it? What's the oldest version? Like, what's the oldest version of the story?
Like, yeah. Who knows?
Right, right. Who knows? Version. Right. What was the original? Like, you're playing a game of telegram, right, or telephone with over 1,000 years,
yeah,
with who knows how many people. But if we've seen what the Egyptian people were able to build, what was that like? How sophisticated were they? And maybe what we're getting at in the Bible is just the longest game of telephone of a true story. It's just all kind of gumbled up in stories, and God's testing you, and all this thing about, you know, God telling this guy to kill his kid. Maybe that was it's just a little screwed up, but it's showing you that there are evil forces at play, and there are temptations that you must resist.
Digestible lessons,
those. Yes.
In a story that you can understand.
Exactly.
And that's
but at
why
the heart
seven
of it, there's
days,
some truth to it.
Because what is a day to
right
God?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Is that a billion years?
Yeah.
A million years?
100 billion?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But it's presented in a way that you can digest it.
Yeah.
It's funny. They sound like us now, right? They sound like a lot of us in the church trying to understand what Genesis chapter 1 is truly describing when it uses the word day, right? Is day a 24-hour period, or is day an age, right?
And then our version of it is this simplified, uneducated, barbaric version that gets translated from people that are involved in sword fights. They're fighting each other with swords and hacking each other to death for thousands of years, yeah, while they're telling this story. The Crusades, all these different things that people did during that time, horrific things. And during that time, they're doing it, many of them, in defense of their God, in defense of their religion. They're motivating people by these books.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff. It's fascinating.
So what is the mistake that Rogan is making? Okay. We see this elaborate explanation as to what the Bible really is, but it's based on a fundamental assumption. Do you see it? Here it is. The God of the Bible does not exist. That's the fundamental assumption that explains Rogan's comments here. Yahweh does not exist. If you remove God, the God of the Bible, from the story of the Bible, well, then what is the best explanation for the writing of this book? Well, maybe it's panspermia, you know, an original group of people who knew the truth, but then through an elaborate game of telephone, the truth got lost, you know, and people tried to write it down in parables and other things until it became this huge gumbled mess, right? Is that how the Bible was written, though? What does the Bible actually have to say about itself, right? In Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul makes an interesting statement about his people, and this is what he said, that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. These are the same oracles that Stephen, a Jewish follower of Jesus, mentioned in Acts chapter 7. He said that the prophet Moses, the leader of the Jewish people in the Exodus, was the one who received living oracles to give to us. An oracle means a message from God. This message is a special revelation of God to his people. And these oracles or messages were written down by God's people, the Israelites, over a period of time to create what they called the Tanakh and what we Christians call the Old Testament, which is the first half of our entire Bible. But notice, this is a direct one-to-one communication between God and his people. When Jesus came to earth and performed his ministry in the first century, he proclaimed his gospel oracle or his gospel message, and his disciples wrote down these messages, even writing their own messages from God into what we now call the New Testament. So what is the Bible? It is the writing down of the living oracles, what is also understood to be the special revelation of God. That's why Paul says to his disciple Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. It's breathed out by God for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The Apostle Peter helps us to think through this concept of, you know, breathing out, right? This sort of special connection to the Lord when he says it like this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no, wait a second. Prophecy in the biblical sense simply means to reveal the will of God to others. Okay, so already you can see how this is connected to the oracles of God, right? Peter goes on to say this. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is a divine activity, a divine style of authorship that takes place in the writing of Scripture. Let me say the same thing using different words. Nobody wrote down the Scripture alone. God was involved in the authorship of the Scripture. So again, what is the Bible? It is the special revelation of God in both Old and New Testaments that have been written down and recorded by God's chosen servants. This is the definition that the Scripture gives of itself. And you see how it trades on the very thing that Rogan seems to be leaving out of this discussion, which is God himself. It's funny, when I was an atheist, I said the same things, okay? You know, I spouted off all kinds of interesting theories about the origin of life and panspermia. I mean, panspermia was definitely an offer or a theory that I offered to people, especially when I was hanging out at parties and things like that. But the reason I did that was the same reason that I think Rogan does now. I rejected the God of the Bible. I could not bring God into my calculus when I started thinking about how everything worked out in reality. It's interesting to me because Rogan realizes, or at least he recognizes, that the Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he literally goes on to say, but what is it really trying to say, though? You know, you see how immediately the plain reading of the text just cannot be true, right? And that's a question that I think Rogan should be confronted with. If you recognize that the universe came into existence out of nothing at a finite time in the past, and you also recognize that human beings have souls, right? So in another part of the video, he talks about this, which, by the way, you should watch the whole thing. I'll try to leave a link for that in the notes, right? And on top of those things, you also recognize that these UFOs and UAPs that we're seeing more and more of these days in the skies, they're not interstellar travelers from other galaxies. They're actually travelers from another dimension. Again, these are all things that Joe Rogan recognizes. Then when you find a book like the Bible that gives an explanation for this, why do you immediately dismiss its plain reading? What about the plain reading of the Bible gives cause to dismiss it outright and then jump to these weird, elaborate, inaccurate characterizations of the Bible? We'll see if, I don't know, somebody asks Rogan this question someday. In the meantime, now it's your turn. What do you think? Is Joe Rogan not far from the kingdom of God? Is he still way too far off? Let me know in the comments below. As always, if you made it all the way to the end of this video, you need to join my Patreon community, even just to read the Bible with me. We're doing a Bible study together over on Patreon. That's free for anybody who wants to join. You can also jump into one of the support tiers to support me in this ministry, and then you'll get exclusive access to videos like this before they make it on YouTube, or you can jump into a live stream with me and ask me anything that you want. The link for the Patreon is below. Hey, I'm going to return soon with more videos, voice permitting. And in the meantime, I'll say bye for now.